Welcome to the Apartment Rockstar podcast. On this episode, Robert is joined by Megan Blanchett, who came all the way from Rhode Island to meet Team Rockstar.
Welcome to another episode of the Apartment Rockstar podcast. And this is actually a first of a kind for us today. We have a young lady who found us on social media. She found us out there in the web. So anytime you ever wondered if anybody watching, branding does work. Branding has to work. Everybody has a brand. Some are just more well-known than others. And this young lady found us, and I'm super excited. This is Megan Blanchett. Hey, Megan, you are a student at the University of Rhode Island?
I am.
I am blown away that you
the
are here
smallest
today.
Smallest state.
That's okay. Hey, yeah. Hey, the internet's everywhere, right?
It is.
So I want to know, why are you here? What's your purpose?
So I fell into multifamily, just kind of falling down YouTube holes, and I just saw kind of the possibility that it has. And I like that multifamily allows you to give so many people a home, right? And I think why I reached out to you and your team and Tracy is mainly because I saw that you did it all with heart. You know what I mean? So it was just such a differentiator. And so for my project, I had to pick an industry, and I picked multifamily.
Wow.
Because you could pick anything you wanted that interested you, because it's going to be a semester long project. So we had to, you know, make sure we were interested. So I picked multifamily because I could listen to it all day, every day. And I know that's, you know, sounds crazy, but it's true. And so then I fell into all of your videos, and I watched your Daily Rock and your podcasts, and then also your Multifamily Mondays.
Yes.
Now. So I was just so honored that Tracy allowed me to come out and see how you are able to kind of mesh all of your brands, not your brands, but all of your different facets of Rockstar.
Right.
So well, because for me, everybody only presents multifamily in one way. It's like, okay, so we do multifamily. We manage, we invest, or we just market, right? And
yeah.
So you do all of them. And so that stood out to me initially, and honestly still does today. And then with Tracy rolling out the red carpet, I feel so honored to be here next to you, talking to you. I didn't even know if I was going to be able to meet you. So this was a big
deal. I promise you the honor is all mine.
Yeah.
This is the first of its kind for us. You know, back in my other life, I had people reach out to me because I was in a real estate club and I was on a bunch of videos. But this is the first time where someone has reached out from this far out, related to nothing to that real estate club, where you found something. So how did you find me again? You told me very quickly.
Yeah, I was on YouTube. I'm on YouTube all the time because I like to learn, apparently. But my friend, she also likes Grant Cardone, and she was watching him and she came across your video. And she was like, you're really gonna like this Robert Martinez guy. And I'm like, okay. So what I did was I went onto my TV, because I like to watch TV while I study. I don't know how effective that is, but at least, you know. So I put on my TV YouTube and I typed in your name. And the first video that came up was your lease parody.
Really?
That's the first one I ever saw. And so I guess YouTube must really love that one, because
I want to give credit to Tracy and her team, you know, because I'm not actually in it, which makes me sad that this video did so well, but it went viral. You know, we actually have a viral video to our credit at Rockstar Capital. We did a parody on The Office. We were we had entered a competition at the Apartment Internet Marketing Conference. It's a conference that Tracy Tyler, our VP of Marketing, told us about, that she had gone to for years and years. And I remember the first year we went, it was all about video submissions and how, you know, videos are so much better than a picture. And so we were there, and I told Tracy, we have a video team, we can do this. Next year I want to come back and I want to submit and I want to take home an award. And I never imagined that we would have the result that we had. We had multiple submissions. I think we had, we came in with two or three, two awards. One of them was the People's Choice Award. Now this was a kind of an award that's like, regardless of the classification, who does everybody like the most? And so we were very good. We understand social media, we understand marketing, you know? And so if you're not trying to win, why are you playing, right? So it was a vote in. We used our techniques on how to get, you know, mass awareness and eyeballs out there. And we beat videos that I actually thought were better produced. But ours had a lot of originality to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people liked it. We put a couple of dollars on it behind the impressions and the span of it. And next thing you know, it took on a life of its own. Do you remember how many views you saw on it?
I don't, but I will say it kept me around long enough to watch another video. So
that, well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
And I think it has like 500,000-600,000 views when I last looked at it.
Wow.
So Robert, your video came up on the side during a Grant Cardone video.
Yeah. That's how my friend found
that's
you.
That's amazing. So, interesting, and just very, very quickly on that, for a long time, I have followed Grant Cardone. I think he helped me find some the next level myself. Mm-hmm. Really, it was always in me. I just needed somebody to kind of light that torch a little bit for me, and I think he did that. But I've been compared to him quite often, and it's a huge honor and it's a huge comparison. You know that hey, you're like the next Grant Cardone. And I've heard that more times than I can remember now from different people, close relationships, external relationships, new relationships, and I just think because I speak a lot of passion, I really enjoy what I do. Mm-hmm. When I found multifamily real estate, I literally found my calling. I remember when I had a previous life there and I was working in corporate America, and you know, somebody would always say, you know, you'll be happy when you finally find something you like to do. And I was making six figures. I was having a good time doing it, but I wasn't really fulfilled. I wasn't really happy. It wasn't what I really wanted to do. It's what I was thought I wanted to do, what I was told to do. And when I found multifamily real estate, which I wish I found in college. My gosh, I was not at your maturity level, clearly, to be able to digest that and understand that. It changed the world for me. You know, and
once you see the magic
and you find your passion and you really get a chance to unleash who you are as a person. And you know, when I got started, I was doing all jobs. I was doing every single position, whether it was leasing or I was helping out with maintenance or I was doing the renovation director or marketing director. I was running everything all by myself. And I did that up until about, gosh, when Tracy joined us at the end of 2017, you know. And so for all that time, what helped me is that I got a good understanding of everything. Mm-hmm. But when Tracy came on, I actually had a comrade. I had somebody there to bounce ideas off of and be able to share. And you know, she was able to find the hype in me. I was able to find the hype in her. And together, we hyped each other up. You know, and man, we've carried on. Her team has won a tremendous amount of accolades for us. We won a lot of awards because it's all about visibility. Mm-hmm. It's all about putting your name out there. And again, as I mentioned earlier, everybody has a brand. Some are just more well known than others. Mm-hmm.
Well, I do have a question. That
ask me. Let's go Q&A. I love Q&A.
So what are some benefits, like direct benefits that you have seen from having the mindset that branding is everything?
Well, number one is not everybody's doing it. A lot of people are afraid, you know, when you're a child growing up, your first mentors are your mom and your dad, right? And anything they say, you do. So if they say color in the lines, you color in the lines. If they say go to school and get good grades, you go to school and get good grades. I think that with branding, you find who you are as a person, right? You're out there, you're pushing yourself out there, and you're making people aware, because if you don't exist here, you don't exist in 2020. And that's just how it is, right? It's not, you may have the best product in the world, but if nobody knows about it, then the other product's gonna get all the eyes. So I think attention follows money. Money follows attention. And I think what's helped is that we've been able to grow our portfolio. We've been able to grow our awareness. Somebody approached me yesterday and said, what we are doing today in the multifamily space, especially here in Houston and in Texas, nobody else is doing. So to me, I look at Grant and myself as the only guys that are really putting ourselves out there. They're putting a face associated with their management company. Grant's a great syndicator. And that's awesome. I think he's probably the master at personal branding and marketing of that, but he doesn't operate. There's a nice space for me because I'm a better operator because I've been doing this for 13 years. I've got the two national award wins to prove it. I've got the other cash out refinance events. And so he may have the reach right now. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him because I got time. I'm going to get it because I'm only getting better at this. And I think we play with heart. And I think the end that is that you find out through social media who you have on your team, and you hear the heart in them, and everybody gets passionate. When you ask them, they light up, right? I wouldn't be here today without that team. I wouldn't be here in this office today. We didn't have this office a year ago. We've only had it for a short time.
It's beautiful.
Thank you very much. And we've already outgrown it. We got over 4,000 square feet. And you know, I asked myself, how did we even operate before we got here? Because I don't understand the idea that we're able to bring everybody together. There's so much just ideas and syncing together of stuff, and I can walk outside my office, someone can come in, and we get a lot of stuff going on. So branding has opened all of this for us.
So I think you're gonna have to replay that clip back, you know, when you do catch him. I think that was great. You were looking right in the camera.
Oh, it was right there looking at him.
When you catch him, you gotta replay that.
Yes.
So this leads right, boy, look at this. It's like I did my homework or something. So what did you do differently that allowed you to be the only person in the country to win the two-time National Apartment Owner of the Year?
Well, again, when you went owner of the year, I like to think that you were an operator first, mm-hmm. not a marketing guy or a syndicator. I think what helped me a lot is, number one, I quit my day job. I was making about $150 a year, and I went to learn multifamily apartments. And so I sat in that chair. I learned how to lease. I learned how to talk to people. Sales is sales. It doesn't matter what you do. I think one of the greatest gifts people can have and develop is be able to stand up in front of people and talk to them. And you know, I think if you're afraid to speak, try to order the drive-thru, try to pick up the phone and call somebody, try to get that fear out of you and try to learn how to present yourself. And so that helped me in multifamily, because if I can sell $1 million piece of equipment to a guy with a PhD in my previous life, certainly I can rent a $500 apartment to a guy making $40,000-$50,000 a year. Sales is sales. Ask the right questions, listen, be quiet, use suggestive sale, try to help them bring down the barriers of entry for them and see if they can lease there, and then take care of them. So I learned all those lessons. So as I grew this business, I understood where I wanted to go. I'm constantly learning. I have this little thing inside of me that it's never good enough, and I want a little bit more. It's not about the money for me. It hasn't been for quite a while now, because I found my financial peace. It's now about being able to do something that no one else is doing. It's what drives me. This whole office, I mean, who has a podcast space in the multifamily world? I mean, this is about 1,000-square-foot office in here in our studio, dedicated to this. I got 3,000 for the office, and I got 1,000 just for our branding and our personing. So I think the second piece to that is that I understand the magic formula. We've been able to generate 13 cash out refinance events. We buy a deal, we renovate it, we inject capital, we inject human capital, we inject procedures and processes, and we do it better than the next guy. We increase that valuation, we have it appraised by the bank in 3 or 4 years, we pull a bunch of money out, tax-free, give it to our investors, and boom, we just did a big cash out refi. But then be able to tell that. Because if you don't know that, how do you know I'm good enough to win the 2-time National Owner of the Year? How do you know that if I'm afraid? It's my duty to tell my company story. It's my duty to tell Tracy's story and my story and Ian's story and Sam's story and all the people that work with us. It's my responsibility. Success is your duty, which is one of the grandisms that he likes to push. I totally believe it. If you aren't promoting it, then you're demoting it. And I work too hard to let something get demoted. I take this very, very personal, what I do. I've given up my life for it. I've gone through life change for it. It's very important for me that this hits every imaginable goal. And what's exciting is that when I come to work every day, I don't know what's gonna happen. I have a list of things that I wanna get done, and next thing you know, someone has an idea, and we're spending an hour in a meeting, and the next thing you know, it becomes policy in the afternoon. And it's crazy what's going on here today. So it's exciting. I think that's how I got it all. I have a passion to get more. I wanted to learn how to market, so I met Gary Vee. I wanted to learn how to brand, so I met Grant, and others in my field aren't willing to do that. They're not willing to, and what I learned is you gotta pay to play. Mm-hmm. It's not cheap. They're not just going to come meet you, right? But you got to find out either what's important to them. Sometimes it's money. They want a benefit. They want a cash benefit. Other times, they just want you to care about their own personal causes. When I met Gary Vee the second time, I got to meet him a few times, but when I brought the team with me last time, he was interested in us buying his wine from his wine company. He wanted sales. So I was able to buy some wine. We got some free time with that. We had like a good hour. We waited for him for 3 hours in his office, which is okay, because it's like you're in this museum of stuff. Yeah. And you're just like, wow, this is like amazing. Look, I've seen this on his videos. I've seen that. Here are the people. There's D-Rock over there. And you get excited. You're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
But what he did was he was trying to build that business, mm-hmm. build that book. So he sold his time because mm-hmm. he didn't want the cash. He wanted you to put sales into his business so that he could later sell it mm-hmm. to the guys that own Ernst & Gallo. Yeah, there you go. Constantly was like one of the biggest wine companies in the world, and they bought Gary Vee's, you know, Empathy Wine. I mean, that's freaking genius.
Genius. Yeah. You nailed it. I think just so always wanting to be better, always wanting to be. So I have this saying, and it's called be more, do more, and live more.
I love that.
And I feel like it just falls right
in. Say that again to me so I can understand that.
Be more.
Be more.
Do more.
Do more.
And then live more.
And live more. I love it. I won't ever forget that.
Yeah.
Be more, do more, live more.
It's nice and simple, but I was writing in my gratitude journal the other day, and I was like, I'm so grateful that I'm able to be more, do more, and live more. And I was like, wow, that's good. I was like, I gotta copyright that
you
or
better,
something.
You better.
I was like, that's a good one.
You better. So, you got some sharks around us right now that are listening to it.
But yeah, so that's how I, you know, that's
I love it. That's just an amazing level of maturity to have at any age, but able to do them. I can see it in you. I can see you're living it. I can see how you're acting. I can see how you're carrying yourself, how you have this vibe. You know, you reached out to us out of nowhere, you know, and then Tracy's giving you, and she's busy. She's got a lot of things going on. And I think she actually was on vacation yesterday. So this was obviously very important to her to be here. And then, you know, to give you the time and have this time. So congrats, because I think it shows.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it more than you know. So my next question is, if you were to start over today, knowing what you know, what would you do differently?
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, it's really interesting because I feel like I have had a start over recently. Our company has had a massive change in people recently. For a long time, I carried the baton. And I did all the jobs. And I had a lot of people that started with me in the business, and I brought them along. But in many ways, I think that I handicapped the business by not letting them mature enough, or I handicapped myself by not bringing in people later on, which could have done that job that I did at an earlier stage. So I think that if I could do it again, I would actually, so to make sure I understand, if I could do it over again knowing what I know?
Yeah,
if I could do it over again knowing what I know, I would have done it much more the Silicon Valley way. I would have found venture capitalists who invest in this company. I would have brought in the people we have today, the Ian Douglases, the Tracy Tylers, the Sam Morrises, people that are leaders in what they do and understand what they do and have a vision and expertise so I don't have to figure it out all by myself. And I did that for so long. This year, Rockstar 2020 has been a revolutionary year for us. COVID was actually the best thing that ever happened to us because it slowed us down from our pursuit of growth to really focus on our properties. And we found weaknesses and we found cracks and things later on exposed themselves as you started digging a little bit. And when you did that, we realized we had to make a change. We realized that we weren't where we needed to be. And we needed to understand that in order to get to the next level, you've got to be willing to change. And we did that this year. We've had a complete yesterday I was in a big meeting with the property managers. We had 21 property managers here, and they were going over NOI and budgeting. And I swear, I think 70% I had never met before because they've come in the last several months. But they're really good. Like, they are next level stuff from what we had before. And so that has carried over and actually started at the top where we made some decisions on the corporate team that I think were overdue. And I think were necessary. And now that they're done, we are achieving at a pace that I've never could have imagined. And so knowing that, I would have done that in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I would have gone and brought some seed capital in from somewhere instead of bomb and popping it like I did. I thought, you know, it's like when you know, I don't know if you've ever done a single family, but you should never rehab it yourself. You should hire out professionals that know what they're doing and get that turnaround, get it on the market and do it again. I wanted to do it myself. I want to do it myself because I didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. Now that I know what I know, there's no way I would have done it quite the same way. If I would have had my dad teach me this, right? Because he didn't have this ability, he didn't have this knowledge. He was fantastic, smartest guy I know, valedictorian of his high school, but he didn't understand this. I wish he had told me that you need help instead of trying to do it. I was a bit of a perfectionist. I didn't really trust a lot of people. I wanted to do it myself. I've gotten a lot better at that in 2020. And it's gonna be really interesting to see where we are at the Christmas party, because last Christmas party, none of these changes had occurred. And this is Christmas party, you're looking at a 70% turnover, you're thinking, wow, you know, that's not good for your company, you have such a turnover. But when you think about what you're doing, when you understand that the next level, if you wanna get to the next level, you've gotta change the group that you're with. And you gotta get with people. I know I told this to Tracy, when if I wanna get to 8-10,000 units where she came from, I've gotta have people that are working at 8-10,000 units right now so they can show me how to get there.
The only thing that's gonna be different is everyone's just gonna need name tags.
Yeah.
They have some with Christmas trees.
Yeah. And I would have gotten an office much sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing this 9 years now and this is our first office. We've only had it for a few months now. If I could have done this at least 3 years, maybe 4 years earlier, you know, I think about where we could be together, because I think you need that team approach. You need that mm-hmm. team atmosphere. I think it was difficult to wrap around it. And then once you wrap around it, you're like, dang it. When you have those epiphanies, like, why didn't I do this before?
Yeah.
You know, and it's because you get okay dealing with the norm and you don't want to challenge yourself. But when you challenge yourself, you break that glass ceiling. Cause that's all it is a glass ceiling. You let yourself be in this box. You know, when you're wanting to go and pursue and pursue and pursue. I mean, I come here with more drive than I ever had in the last 9 years. Maybe from the first few years when I used to show up to the office every day and I was there at the properties. But once I started hiring regionals on AdHelp, I didn't come to the office as much, and I think it kind of dragged a little bit. But the office has been a big deal for us.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I walked in and I was taking pictures and I was like, hope this is okay, because it's beautiful. That training room?
Yes, it's amazing. And it's funny, I want to give credit to Grant, because I remember he did a meme about a year ago or so that it said that if you don't have an office, you don't really have a business. And at first I thought that was stupid, and you know, he's just being whatever because he's got this big, amazing place. But I get it. The synergy, the ideas, the creativity that flows from that. And I think, you know, as they get to hang out with me more and I hang out with them, we learn each other and we take on each other's personalities. And I think we start to flow a lot better.
Yeah. So what is one non-negotiable for you and then for your team?
Non-negotiable. Well, I'm not going to compromise my integrity or my beliefs. I won't do it, because you have a long time in this world, assumingly that you're going to be here for a long time, and your name and your reputation is everything. Mm-hmm. So if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I think most people in this room know that, that when I say something, I'm going to do it. And what I do a lot is I like to talk about it a lot. And I don't know how this works in the universe with God. You know, I think you kind of manifest it into existence. I know we talked about a lot of things, Tracy, verbally, often. And it's made itself happen. Mm-hmm. So that's my non-negotiables. I won't compromise my integrity. Now, my non-negotiable on bringing in teams, they got to have heart. Mm-hmm. They got to have heart. You got to have heart. You know, you don't have the talent up front or the skill set. We'll work with that, because if you have the heart, you won't quit. And if you won't quit on me, mm-hmm. then that's going to be great. Because I'm not going to quit on you. I've passed that point. I won't quit on anybody. But people that have left our company, you know, in recent times, it's because they either showed themselves a door, or in the end they resigned because they realized, man, I can't keep up with you. And I appreciate that. That's their heart saying to me, I'm not quitting. I just can't give you what you want anymore. And that's happened a couple of times. And so, and I respect that for sure. And I don't ever want to look down on that. But you got to play with heart. I don't need just a mercenary coming in here. I need someone that wants to build, that wants to come in, that can see that where this company's going.
Well, it's really funny, because in my first round of questions I wrote, I said, I wrote about you leading with heart. And it's funny that you literally said those exact words, because on my first set, I had added that in. And I said, how important is it that you lead with heart, was one of my first questions. But I ripped it out and started again. But clearly, it was supposed to be said. So I've noticed that you lead with heart, like just from seeing you on the internet and, you know, just seeing you all around. And I think that that's one of the biggest differentiators for me as a consumer. Is watching you lead with heart and how you interact with everyone. And so I'm just so grateful that you brought that up.
Yeah, I think it's really important also for them to understand too that if it's not working, it's not your fault, it's my fault. Mm-hmm. I either didn't give you the tools you needed, or I wasn't clear in what I needed from you. So if something's not right, it's my fault. But I don't like that, right? I want to fix that. I don't like having issues, right? So I will make it a priority. You know, at the beginning of the week, we had some people pull out of our latest equity raise, and we were quite a ways away from where I thought we would be at this point. And I jumped back in, like, no, it's okay. I'm going to pick up the phone. And like magic, right? Like the money started coming back in again. And we're in a very different spot today than what we started on Monday, right? But it's because I'm not afraid to lead. I'm not afraid to get in there. I'm not afraid to go back and do what I know how to do. And I think it's inspirational. Everybody comes in. And we had like a little bell in this company. We added it a few weeks ago when we were fundraising. And it created this, like, this. It wasn't a competitive atmosphere. It was more of a, like a joyful,
right.
Yeah, like because they're not investing in me, they're investing in us.
Right.
Here's another person that wants to give us their hard-earned money, that believes in the message that we're trying to say, and understands that we are going to play for heart for them, and that if their money's next to mine, and this is my kid's money, and I'm going to guard it with my life, then I'm going to guard your money with my life too, because you're there, mm-hmm. right? So when we ring that's a signal, hey, we're one step closer to getting that deal, we're one step closer to growing our company, that we're one step closer to all of us being in a better spot, you know. So it's been great. It's been ringing a lot this week, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, it's funny because Tracy mentioned that earlier in our meeting, and I was like, that's so smart, Bell. And so I guess this leads me to my next question of how do you keep your team motivated and excited to be better?
Wow. You know what? First of all, I think it starts with me. I've got to show that I want to be here. I've got to show that there's something going on. My schedule comes and goes because of some things affected and whatever, but I try to make my personal fitness important to me. So I've been spending more time doing that, trying to eat a little bit better. But when I'm in here, I'm in. I'm on. You know, I've asked everybody to come and talk to me when they can and share me what you're doing. I want to understand. I mean, help me understand. I don't ever want to not know what you're doing. I want to know what you're doing. Tell me what you're doing, because maybe I can use it talking to you, you know, or I can say, have we thought about that a little bit, right? Because at the end of the day, I have to recognize that I'm here for a reason. and I need to make sure that everybody has a voice with me so I can help guide, mentor, or they teach me, which happens all the time. You know, but we're one big group, one big culture, one big family. And I need to be the head of that family. I need to make sure everybody's where they need to be. So I try to give everybody the 51% of the relationship. I try to be there for them. My door is open. It's right there. I like to close it because I can concentrate, but I don't ever not answer the door. They knock on the door. They're welcome to come in. I just need to focus on certain things. But, you know, it's been great. I think that the motivation comes. If I hired right, if I recruited properly, they see that. And what's occurred in the last 6 months is that we've made some key acquisitions, and people that follow them are following them. Other people in the industry, like 3 years ago, I could not get high-end talents to look at us for one reason or another. Now, through our branding, through our social media, through us talking about it over and over, we're not bragging, we're telling you who we are. Right? And people are seeing that and they're finding the excitement. They're like, wow, I want to be part of that. We had an interview yesterday from somebody that we should never have had a chance at, you know, and she's probably going to join our group. And that's just super exciting, right? Because you're building the best team possible. And I think when you build the best team possible, you make everybody else better around you. Somebody once told me that you know, do you realize that's what you do? That when you insert yourself into something, everything gets better around it. And when you're not there, it's a little bit different. And I didn't know that. I was like, you know, I think it's just an inspirational leader. I think people just want to play a little harder. They see me, they see me ringing the bell, they see me getting upset about something, but I don't blame anybody. I don't think I ever say it's your fault. I always say this is my fault. This is my fault because I should have known what was going on. I should have asked those questions. And so a lot of that is, that's why I ask everybody, hey, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. Hey, Sam, what's going on today? Sarah, what are you doing today? Caleb, what's going on? Tracy, what's going on? You know, Natalie the other day was to show me some examples of some creative stuff. I'm like, hey, I love this, and I've been needing this. I just want to understand, why wasn't this occurring before? Help me understand why this idea is here today when it could have been 2 weeks ago. And she explained, well, because she needed better direction. My fault. I thought she understood. I thought it was clear, watch by example, but I needed to say, no, this is what I want. Now you're doing it because she figured it out on her own. She's a smart woman. She figured it out on her own that, hey, we got to do this. And all right. There you go. So, but if I'm not in that mix, none of that occurs, you know?
Yeah. All right. Just one last question.
Yeah, I love it. Ask them away. You came a long way for us.
And no, I appreciate any time. Like I said, I wasn't even sure if I was going to get any. So this is all just icing. Okay. With all of your attention going all different places, and there's so many moving parts and so much action, and now you have your personal brand as well. How do you set your focus for each day?
My focus each day is very simple. It doesn't change each day. It's what can I do to maximize investor shareholder value? Simple as that. If that means that I need to go out there and have a conversation with our head of operations, the head of marketing, with our investor relations, with our investments and understanding, I'm going to have those questions. If it means that I need to sit down with Natalie and the creative team, it's like, hey, what can we do to go out there and get our message across? You know, what do I need to do? So it's I come in with one purpose. How do I increase everybody's value? And the number one way is that you keep heads in beds. So if you walk around our offices, you'll see performance metrics all around. I want people to look at that. The things that are important to us, I want it on the TV. I want us looking at it because everybody knows we're all looking at it. Every single review, online review that comes in for this company, I see every single review. And I was very fortunate that Tracy introduced me to a service that allowed that to happen. And because I'm the last line of defense, right? If I let it go, then everybody say, oh, it's okay. Well, my standard's here. And the only way to get everybody else's standard there is to make sure that I'm watching it, you know, and explain that that's the expectation. And if you can do it, hey, we're gonna do really well. If you can't, then maybe this isn't the right spot for you because this is where it's gonna be. So there's a lot of accountability in this business. But I think at the end of the day, we wanna make sure that we do the best we can for our investors, which means we gotta keep occupancy high, which means we have to charge market leading rents, which means that we have to take care of our residents. Because none of that happens without the residents.
I lied. I have one more question.
Yeah, of course.
So have your goals ever changed from when you first started to now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If your goals...
Your main goal.
Yeah, it has. Because my main goal is I wanted to buy 1,000 units. And I wanted to do it because I wanted to get to a certain income level. I wanted to get to financial peace. And I hit that and I just kept going. And I kept going because it became fun. And then I got to another level of financial security. Like, wow, okay, this is different. And then I got to the point where, hey, we can kind of grow something. Over the last recent years, I realized my goals were too short. They were too small. They were too achievable. They didn't seem to be achievable to me at the time, but when you find some momentum, I think momentum is everything in life. I think you gotta have the right group around you. You've got to empower everybody. And I like to look at it like this. Imagine being in a car and you're in that car and you're going and all of a sudden you hit a bump. You're gonna slow down, but you're gonna keep going. Right? Let's say you hit a bigger bump. You're gonna slow down, but you're gonna keep going. But you're messing up that car slowly. Let's say you have to plow through a wall. Now you've damaged the frame of that car, but you're still moving. At some point, you're gonna have so much damage on that car, right, that it's not gonna operate the way it used to. And it's not gonna move as fast. It will actually maybe, it used to go 100 miles an hour, now it can only go 70 or 80 miles an hour. That slows you down. What if you could have had the clearest path possible? You're gonna get to your destination much faster. And that's what I'm realizing here, is that if I can eliminate all the roadblocks, we're gonna get to that destination. My problem is that I thought the destination was this, so I set my path for that. I realized that when you go out and you choose goals that are just so preposterous, you're like, how am I gonna do it? That's why Gary wants to buy the Jets.
Right.
That's why Grant Cardone wants to sell to Blackstone for $10 billion. He actually told me when I was there, he's like, you get the $2 billion, I get the $10, we'll make a killing on this, you know. But I'm gonna take care of myself. I don't need Grant Cardone to help me out. But my point is, when you create these monster goals, what you do is you subconsciously, and you talk about them out loud, right? Because you hear about, you know these goals, right?
Yes.
Not because they're not in their head, they've talked about it. Mm-hmm. You somehow find a way to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And you'll find a way that if you wanna get there's obstacles in the way. You will work a way through it. You will pick a different road. You will go around them. But if your goal is too short, you put up with stuff. Because you know I'm gonna do it. Grant, Gary have these amazing goals and they're singular in their pursuit of it. And they're like, how do I get there? Well, it's about time and speed. Well, they better have the right team. And if you don't have the right team, that's like having a bump. That's like having an issue. It's like handicapping yourself and you're slowing yourself down. But what if you can have the best team? What if you can have an office, right? Mm-hmm. What if you can have a creative team? What if you can have all kinds of things that you didn't have before? You're gonna get to that goal so much faster. So, I mean, I don't know what we're making these days. I know what we're spending. We are literally building it so we can happen, for we can handle that future growth. So my goals have definitely changed. They definitely changed because they were not big enough. They weren't big enough because my parents' goals weren't high enough. You know, if you ask them, if you ask somebody how much money is a lot of money to them, somebody out of high school, they'll say $1 million, right? But what if you would ask Donald Trump Jr., hey, how much is $1 million to you? He's not gonna have said $1 million at 18 years old. Why? Because his dad was already a billionaire. And billionaire kids, multimillionaire kids think very differently than suburban kids like me. My dad worked at a company called Whataburger, which is fast food, for 40 years. My mother worked at Hager's and Levi's later before those plants were shut down and moved to Mexico during the NAFTA in the 1990s. But my goals were just a little bit more than their goals. Donald Trump Jr.'s goals are much different. And look at the difference. A billionaire versus my mom and dad, they're maybe making 100, 120 a year, if that. Very different. You got to make sure you shoot for goals because you are constantly changing in life. Mm-hmm. And you are getting to your next level. I once had a mentor tell me, get the biggest house you can. Like, I don't know if I can. I mean, I'm able to afford it. You will work into it. You're at the beginning of your career in sales. You will make more next year and you'll keep making more and you'll wish you had gotten that bigger house. And sure enough, they were right. I got a smaller house. I got one that I thought I could fit. And before long, just like this office, we're already outgrowing it. I should have gotten the bigger office, which luckily there's more space here. We can just get it. But I should have gotten the bigger build out and just say, we're just gonna make it happen. We're gonna figure it out. So those are little rules. I think you just have to choose. You have to just reach out there for the stars. And the best part is when people say you're crazy, good. Good. It's not achievable for you, but it's achievable for me. So keep your negativity over there. I'm gonna keep focused. I'm gonna keep my positivity this way. I'm gonna go down that road, get the momentum going, and I'll see you at the finish line.
That's awesome. And I will say, just from also an outsider perspective, I love personally how on your YouTube branding you say, follow me on my journey to 10,000 units. And I think I mentioned this to Tracy when I first reached out. I think that to me is just inviting people along, and it makes it so much more enjoyable for the viewer because it almost says, hey, if I'm on it, you can be too.
Yeah.
And then I just think that lends itself to so many other things that you do. And I think that that's a very, very good play. And so I just thought, you know, I
appreciate
that. And so as a viewer, I appreciate it.
On behalf of the team, I thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah. So those are all my questions. Thank
awesome,
you.
Awesome. Awesome. It has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us here at the Rockstar Studios. It is unreal that our reach is that far, that people in college are seeing us. You know, you got so many other things that you're focused on. You're obviously a clear and focused young lady, and I think you're going to be doing great things in life if you're finding us like this and doing the multifamily. So congrats, and I wish you nothing but the best in the future. Please reach out to me or Tracy and let us know how we can help you in your journey.
Thank you so much. Is it bad that the whole time I'm doing this, all I can think about is how each piece is micro content for your Instagram?
No, that is awesome.
All I think about means... is like, okay, so each one, great. I mean, we just got a solid set.
I promise you that when I was a little younger, I wish I was thinking about micro content, because I think about it now and like, hey, that was a good one too. So she's on the same wavelength. Look, she's half my age. So I love it. I love that she's able to do that. Hey, this has been a very fun episode in the Apartment Rockstar. Probably the most fun one I've ever had. I'm in awe to be here today. I'm in awe for my team. Thank you so much, Megan, for joining us.
Thank you.
This has been a great one. Hey, catch us next time on the Apartment Rockstar podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Apartment Rockstar, or hey, catch up with me on LinkedIn. I got a lot of great content. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Apartment Rockstar podcast. If you're interested in investing with Rockstar Capital, feel free to sign up at rockstarcapital.com or email investing@rockstar-capital.com. This has been a production of Rockstar Capital.